Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to this conference call on the preliminary 2013 results we published earlier this morning. Sitting here with me are Feike Sijbesma, CEO and Chairman of the DSM Managing Board, and Mr. Rolf-Dieter Zwalb, Chief Financial Officer and member of the DSM Managing Board. They will elaborate on the announcement and after that answer your questions. This call will last until 10:00. As a reminder, today's presentation may contain forward-looking statements. In that regard, I would like to direct you to the disclaimers about forward-looking statements as published in the press release. Now I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Rolf-Dieter Zwalb.
Thank you, Dave. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us this morning at such short notice. Earlier today, we reported preliminary unaudited results for 2013 and also provided an outlook for 2014. The final audited results will be published as scheduled on 26 February 2014. This also means that not all the analysis has been done yet. Not all the financials are available. For example, cash flow, balance sheet are not yet available. The closing process still continues. Just to warn on maybe some too detailed questions later. Before I go into the preliminary results in more detail, I would like to spend a minute on why we are announcing these today. There are several reasons for this. First, although all clusters in Q4 had solid results, the mix of the Q4 results over the clusters deviates from market expectations. As we always strive to communicate in an open and transparent way, we believe it is appropriate to inform you today ahead of our planned results announcement in February. As you know, the date of our full year reporting is quite late in this season, which has to do with the fact that we publish our results in conjunction with the integrated annual report. We also feel it is appropriate to have more time for roadshows and conversations with you. We would also like to give you more time to adjust your models to reflect the deconsolidation effect of joint control joint ventures and also the newly announced company with JLR Partners and Patheon with all the new IFRS rules in mind. We plan to publish a full detailed restatement on 26 February together with the final results or soon thereafter. Now to the results. We delivered a roughly 20% higher EBITDA for the full year 2013 versus 2012, in spite of the challenging economic environment. In quarter four, we realized an approximately 30% higher EBITDA. In Q4, all clusters delivered a solid performance despite negative exchange rate effects. The nutrition cluster was, in addition to the negative exchange rate effects, impacted by a combination of unrelated market headwinds, which we discussed previously, but the impact through the end of the year was more pronounced than anticipated. These included weakness in dietary supplements and fish oil-based omega-3 markets in the U.S., soft demand in Western food and beverage markets, and price pressures, especially in vitamin E, following weak demand in animal feed markets earlier in the year. Despite the moderate Q4 results in nutrition, our market positions in nutrition remain strong. Our customers increasingly see the value of our global footprint, broad portfolio, and industry-leading innovation capabilities. Nutrition will also continue to benefit from the structural mega trends with the need to nourish a growing and aging global population, living increasingly in urban areas, paying more attention to health and well-being. This will continue to drive increased demand for our nutritional ingredients. In pharma, we announced the transaction with JLR Partners in November, and as a consequence, DSM Pharmaceutical Products has been classified as discontinued operations. In performance materials, we realized an excellent 50% profit increase versus quarter four 2012, and in polymer intermediates, even more than double of a year ago. For 2014, we take a prudent approach, assuming foreign exchange rates are maintained at current levels for the year. Obviously, we don't know, you don't know. This is an assumption we can take. Furthermore, we assume a continued challenging macroeconomic environment with low growth in Europe, modest growth in the U.S., and a slowdown in the high-growth economies. Based on these assumptions, DSM targets for 2014 to improve its business performance to at least offset the negative currency impact of an estimated €70 million at current exchange rates versus 2013. In 2014, our focus will remain on the operational performance of our businesses, supported by our profit improvement programs and intensified R&D and innovation efforts. It is important to realize that comparable EBITDA in 2013 from continuing operations after the deconsolidation of joint ventures in 2014 following the new accounting rules amounted to approximately €1,260 million. DSM will provide restated 2013 figures, as I earlier said, on these consolidations at the final results announcement day or soon thereafter. DSM is firmly committed to its strategy, which has and will continue to deliver sustainable value through its strong market positions and exposure to global megatrends. And with that, I will open the floor for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. If you have a question, please press star 1. I repeat, star 1. First question is from Mr. Mutlu Gundogan on behalf of ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Let me limit myself to two questions. First, on nutrition and your outlook for 2014. The fact that you state that you have a prudent outlook, does this mean that we shouldn't see the disappointing results in nutrition as a one-off, but more as a recurring theme in 2014? And then secondly, on Tortuga, the EBITDA you report is significantly below previous quarters. Is there a seasonality we should be aware of, or is there something else that is driving this? Thank you.
Yeah, let me start with Tortuga. Yes, we have indicated that also earlier, that there is a seasonality in the region. It is kind of a rainy season where just less of the additional feed materials are added to the normal pasture of food of feed the cattle has in Brazil. So it is a normal seasonal effect, especially in Q4. On the outlook, the word prudent was especially used for the currency assumptions because, yeah, what can you do? So we typically do also when we give our outlooks or forecasts or outlook updates during the year, we normally use just the exchange rates which we see at the moment. We do not take any forward rates or other assumptions. So we just take what we have and what we see at the moment, and that's what this statement is supposed to say. So and the outlook in total says simply we want at least to compensate for this €70 million impact of the exchange rates versus last year, which is a combination of the normal exchange rate impact where we gave you sensitivities in the past. Then there's also a difference in the hedge rates because we hedge always for next year. So the hedges for 2013 done in 2012 were better for our results than the hedges in 2013 for 14. And also the translation effects are not to be ignored, especially with our activities and our acquisitions in the United States, role increases. So this is what it means. But in nutrition specifically, the effects which we discussed in the market, as we call it, market weaknesses or market effects, they were more pronounced towards the end of the quarter, i.e. December. That means also that I do not expect that as of January 2nd, all of these things will have changed and moved back to previous situation. So we have to assume for the time being that will move into the new year also and affect the first quarter.
Especially some of the effects of dietary supplements. I think we have seen clear weakness in the fourth quarter. Now, vitamins need to be essential ingredients which people need to take. So at the end of the day, I expect that we'll come back, but I have no crystal ball. And like Rolf Dieter said, the beginning of the first quarter will not be different than how it developed in the fourth quarter. Also not the vitamin E prices, as we mentioned. The softness of the food and beverage market is more difficult to assess. We see clearly some softness which is also reported by some others. How that will develop, I don't know. Long term, the drivers are unchanged, like we said at the Capital Markets Days. I mean, we benefit from the urbanization, we benefit from the growth of people, we benefit from the attention to health and well-being, etc. So that is all unchanged.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question, Mr. Andrew Stott, Bank of America, UK.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. It was really that that margin sequence from Q3 to Q4. If I look at my own data on vitamin E pricing, it would seem that there's been a drop, but not a precipitous drop, so around about 6%. And then your comments on volumes in omega-3 obviously were already comments you'd made surrounding Q3. So the scale of the margin contraction is obviously pretty significant. Of the two issues, which is the most important?
Yeah, maybe I start and Falke can add. Yes, the vitamin E is one effect, but to be honest, as we also indicate in the press release as such, the main effects and the headwinds or market issues in Q4 were in human nutrition. Now, and not in animal nutrition, where most of the vitamin E is used. So the animal nutrition performance is actually not so bad. The human nutrition performance is mostly impacted by omega-3, by dietary supplements, by the food and beverage markets. So all of that impacts human nutrition. Now, human nutrition, also driven by the acquisitions we did in the last years, has a higher margin than animal nutrition. So the especially on gross margin level, of course, the cost, the fixed cost in marketing and sales is also higher in human, but on the variable, more variable elements, human nutrition is clearly higher. And that is a substantial mix effect. And that impacted Q4 maybe more than you had assumed in your modeling. So the human nutrition element and the mix of the two is the bigger topic in margin development compared to animal nutrition and vitamin E.
Okay. And can I just come back on that, on the omega-3s? Because I guess the comments were previous to this that the raw material cost-related issues had subsided and therefore prices could come back down to stimulate demand. Are you saying that that's not happened, or are you saying that you just think now the underlying marketplace is generally very soft?
Well, we need to see that. If you look to the last 10 years, you see omega-3 growing double digits, I think, already for 10 years in a row. And what you've seen in the fourth quarter, especially, we saw the weakness already in the third quarter, but in the fourth quarter, if you see the whole dietary supplements in the United States, with some products, it is minus 3%, or products which is minus 10%. Clearly a weakness, and omega-3 is one of the strongest impacted. Now, it depends indeed on how prices can come back. Come back means reduced, so that the consumer picks it up. But the whole sentiment that did not help around dietary supplements was weak in the fourth quarter. So not only specifically on omega-3, which took omega-3 further down than we expected earlier. Now, for me, it's difficult to assess that. At the end of the day, if I look to history, I guess that will normalize. But when, I don't know. I don't expect a huge difference from one quarter to another quarter. But I expect at the end of the day that it will recover, but difficult to assess exactly when. We saw also at the very late end of 2013, really last days of December, again some reactions of some opinion leaders on this dietary supplements. But when that has an effect, I don't know.
Maybe to add specifically on the omega-3, the fish oil harvest, The harvest has been normal now in this season, as we expected, in terms of total quantity.
Yeah.
But the fish oil content in the harvest as a percentage of total harvest is lower than it was in the past, which we do not yet fully understand. So the fish oil part has not picked up as much, but the total harvest in volume terms is really up as it was in the prior years. So
okay.
We do not yet see a relief on the fish oil cost.
Yeah, maybe the next question.
Hello? Next question, Mr. Andreas Heiner from Barclays UK. Mr. Heiner, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to understand also a little bit more what your thinking is on nutrition. As you described the material business as strongly improving in the fourth quarter, and I expect that we can also extrapolate this into the next year, and innovation being somewhat better, approaching what you said might be a break even in 2015, your outlook of basically flat earnings means that nutrition will be weaker in profitability in next year. So that means even if you take out the seasonal effects, is that you expect for the whole year of 2014 lower margins in nutrition. Is that the right reading?
A lot reading into our statement. Let me go then case by case or cluster by cluster. On performance materials, I think we really saw an excellent quarter, which did not have the usual Q4 quite significant seasonal dip. I mean, last year there was a strong dip from about 20 million or so. This year is only 5 or 6 million compared to a year ago, and if you compare then the Q4 versus Q4, it's 50% up. So I would hope, I don't have a crystal ball, that this good performance can somehow continue and also is supported by our profit improvement programs. On polymer intermediates, it's again more difficult. We have, of course, a stronger support last year through our license deals, which we did, then it will be on a running basis. But the underlying caprolactam business is volatile. We know it. It's difficult to predict. We see at the moment benzene prices going up. So that assumption already I find a bit more risky. Then I've come to the innovation center. Yeah, in principle, of course, our biomedical business should improve. Our powered bioethanol factory should start up in Q2, and that should help. But we also made the statement in the press release that we want to increase our innovation efforts. So it's not necessarily we want to use, as we already said in the past, when we gain there, we also want to use it to invest in that area. Now, on corporate activities, a warning. I mean, we had a couple of incidentals positive in Q4, which was leading to this final result. But I would again guide you, like I always do, to the corporate activities for any modeling purposes to around 90 to 100 million. So that is also the case. Now, nutrition is, of course, more difficult. We already indicated that, of course, the effects in Q4, especially those which were really more pronounced towards the end, i.e. December, will, of course, continue in Q1, and we have already to work hard to then improve it again later. So very difficult to forecast, but I also want to say the statement we make, it may be too cautious. I would hope so myself, by the way, but we say also we at least want to compensate for this assumed currency impact on today's exchange rate assumption, which also may be completely different as the year evolves. So maybe that to add to your own story, Andrea.
Thanks. Helpful.
Next question from Mr. Andrew Benson, Citigroup UK. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. I know this is a difficult, but can you try and give me a greater, as far as you can, understanding what you think is going on in food and beverage and dietary supplements? You talked in the third quarter about higher prices for omega oil dietary supplements affecting demand, and you would have known the impact of that in October and November a while back. But it seems to be a generic issue across all the supplements that is affecting it. So can you explain what you think is happening there, and what's causing it, and what might change?
You're absolutely right. What we saw in the third quarter is the effect of some weakening in omega-3 due to the high fish oil prices, and therefore our high omega-3 prices, and therefore high retail prices and a little bit lower volume. This was much stronger in Q4 than in Q3, and also stronger than we anticipated. And that was put, let's say, into a setting, like you said, that the whole dietary supplements market went down, especially in the United States, in Q4. There were some studies and some people making announcements on that, and that affected consumer reactions. Indeed, not only on omega-3, but on the whole dietary supplements, which affected all of our dietary supplement ingredients, some of it minus 3, and some of it much higher percentages, and much more than omega-3, and it took omega-3 even further down, as you indicated. So that is a little bit in the context of some studies, some reactions. Now, as I said, at the very last of December, there was, again, some reactions, and we know there are some reactions in the making of people say this is overdone, vitamins are essential, supplements are essential, etc., etc. So I don't know. For me, that's very difficult, look into the crystal ball, how the consumers would react. It has nothing to do with us. Also, the weakness of nutrition in Q4 has nothing to do with performance of DSM. I mean, our market shares in all segments remained stable, very stable, if I may say that. Our operational performance in terms of cost, in terms of manufacturing, was very strong. So it was really a market effect in dietary supplements. Now, it is mainly the United States, which is by far the biggest market for dietary supplements. On the longer term, we see a lot of growth of the dietary supplements, not so much in the United States, but in other regions of the world where the consumption is much less as today. Again, how it will react in the United States, I don't know. The food and beverage market in general, as reported already also in Q3, and I guess some people will report it again over Q4 again, in general was weak, and we couldn't during the course of the year and the quarter, and mainly in Western markets, let's say United States and Europe, and that did not help either. At the end of the day, there were some additional effects there, more towards private label, more towards lower level retailers, and we are a little bit stronger positions in the A brands than in private label, so that affected us as well. At the end of the day, the food and beverage market will not be always soft. That cannot be. So that will come back. But again, difficult to assess how exactly the movements will be. The effects that we see in the fourth quarter, like of data set, of course, we had a strong effect of currencies in the fourth quarter. Of course, you have some seasonality effects, like we said about Tutuga, and some effects of the decreasing vitamin E prices. But the strongest effect was from human health, coming from dietary supplements and soft food and beverages, and stronger than we saw before. It's a market element, and our position remains strong, and I think even the underlying fundamentals are unchanged, and DSM will continue to grow towards the future, but we have to deal with these market effects right now.
Maybe to add to Feike's explanations, I turn it around a bit. We mentioned all the effects. They are basically all independent from each other. And nevertheless, we can deliver a 20% EBITDA margin. I think a quarter like that is even, I would not want to use the word proof, but shows the resilience of our business model with the broad portfolio and the solution offering even more than a normal good quarter, because we have a lot of market issues, topics, all unrelated to each other, and nevertheless, not a bad performance. That's why we also said in our introductory remarks and in the press release that we consider all our segments to have delivered in Q4 a solid performance.
Yeah, that's, to add to Wolf Dieter, indeed, I have never seen this before. I mean, maybe even statistically, it is very unthinkable that in human health you have a dietary supplement drop in the fourth quarter together with a further softening of the food and beverage market. Those two effects have very little to do with each other. The dietary supplements is mainly caused by some opinion leaders and some reactions by the United States consumers, and the food and beverage is more general effect in the Western market. Together with currency effect, together with some seasonalities, together with something else, and that is that the weak demand of animal feed in the first half year due to diseases and the droughts effect, etc., caused the pressure on vitamin E pricing. Well, like Rolf Dieter said, all unrelated. All in nutrition, so you might put it all in nutrition, and that's correct because it's all in nutrition. Yeah, a little bit strange coincidence that all happens at the same moment. All have to do with market effects, nothing with, let's say, our position in that market. I think strategically we are still very well positioned there, and at the end of the day, I have also the confidence that we will deal with this and that we will grow our business. That is what we are committed at. We put also in the press release 2015, we keep targets as we have. We will work to that direction. Organic growth in itself in the fourth quarter of nutrition being 3% was not totally bad. So need to put it in that perspective, I guess.
Next question.
Mr. Mutlu Gundogan, ABN AMRO. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. I had two follow-up questions. First of all, coming back to nutrition, the fact that the adverse conditions were more pronounced towards the end of the year, I mean, is there any destocking effect in there, do you believe? And then secondly, if I'm not mistaken, you had announced some price increases in vitamins, I mean, also A and E, I believe. You talk about E, but you talk also about, I think, other vitamin prices as well. I mean, are those price increases sticking, or do you believe that they will stick? What's the feedback, pushback you're getting from clients? Thank you.
Yeah. Destocking, I don't know. I don't want to bank on that right now. I found that much too dangerous to say, yeah, there were destocking effects into that. And we found it difficult to assess that. There were clearly, if I turn it around, there were clearly no stocking effects into that. And the year end plays a role. And the whole food and beverage market is confronted with some softening. But I don't want to bank on any destocking. I found it too dangerous to say that. And it could be. I would exclude the opposite. So giving, yeah. Vitamin prices, it is mainly vitamin E, like we indicated. Indeed, we try to increase the price. Again, I don't want to bank on that right now. It is, of course, not easy in total, the macroeconomic circumstances. Europe is a relatively flat economy, United States modest growth, and we see already for half a year, all of us in the emerging economies, the growth a little bit less steep than it was before. Now, against that macroeconomic environment, of course, we try to increase price, but I don't want to capitalize on that already right now. I need to see. Anyway, we need to see. And that's maybe not the answer you want, but I would like to be careful there.
Maybe an additional statement on the more pronounced and the potential of a destocking. The publicity, which probably had the biggest short-term impact, was around mid-December under the headline of Enough is Enough, basically saying if you all eat healthy, i.e. vegetables, fruits, and so on in a sufficient quantity, you don't need all these dietary supplements. Yeah, it's a big if. I don't know what your best guess is, how many people really do that. It's not so many, actually. And that had quite an impact. But as Falk already said, there are so many other studies permanently coming out of recommendations and benefits that these things also have a relatively short-term impact. But yeah, that is also explaining the more pronounced.
The effects, like of data set of the do you need dietary supplements of the United States, and especially in the fourth quarter, some of the statements coming out, were comparisons with a fully healthy diet with enough fruits and vegetables. And then the addition of vitamins is limited. We know that 85% of the Americans do not eat enough fruits and vegetables. And I do not think that will change either. So in that sense, it remains needed also in the other parts of the markets.
Okay, thank you very much. I mean, just getting back to the price increase in vitamin E, could you perhaps explain to me how you believe that you can increase prices while these prices for vitamin E are currently coming down? I mean, it seems a bit at odds with each other.
Well, if you look to vitamin E, what is happening, it has a little bit an effect on the demand, which was weakening in the first half of 2013. Which is now, coming back. And against that demand, there were some speculations about what is happening with capacity. There is a potential new entrant in China, not huge, by the way, and we are not so sure that it will be a new entrant because we do not see that the factory will be really built or finished or whatever. We monitor that carefully. But there were speculations about that, and against that little bit lower demand and against the speculation about the new entrant, although, again, not huge, but still, in China. And by the way, I don't see new entrants in other vitamins in China to answer that also. Some customers speculated on price drops and succeeded even in that the context of the different players in the market. I don't know whether that will continue because I'm not sure that a new entrant will be there. And I see that the volumes are not further dropping like they were doing in the first half due to the diseases. So, again, I want to be very careful with crystal balls, etc., on 2014. But I think, theoretically, there is reasons why vitamin E prices could increase.
And it's also too early to say now, because our price increase announcements on E and A were both in the second half of November, so it's just too short a period to already say we can see it in a hard way.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
Next question, Ms. Evgenia Molotova from Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot for taking my questions. I have two. One of them is on animal nutrition. You said that you had a negative mix in the quarter. If you could comment on that more, what exactly are the negative factors in the mix? And the second is on omega-3. So you do you think that the demand destruction in food and beverage customers in omega-3 is stronger than it is in B2C in the food supplements, and also in terms of the demand sensitivity, so how sensitive are they to the pricing, and especially the food and beverage customers, and do you think that the demand will come back when the prices go down? And also on the fish oil, I had the impression from what Nutreco is saying, etc., that the fish oil prices are coming down, so you should feel some positive effects quite soon, or am I wrong?
Well, maybe on animal nutrition, first, following your questions, and Feike will add, the mix effect, I guess we don't have the full analysis yet, as I said at my introductory remarks, that is, we'll call it the disadvantage of a preliminary results announcement, but it refers mainly to what we discussed already around the vitamin E. If it's mix and pricing, I mean mix pricing, so if you have either a price down, we say always the price mix is a combined effect when we calculate it in full detail and publish it, so that is most likely part of it. On the omega-3s and the fish oil, yeah, I said on the fish oil, we don't see it at the moment. Yeah, let's hope that what Nutreco says also shows an impact on us, but I don't know what, I didn't see that statement, so Feike will certainly add to that. And omega-3 is most of omega-3 is in dietary supplements, not in food and beverage, but Feike, please.
Yeah, again, if we split animal health and human health, animal health in the first half year was confronted with some weakening due to diseases and the aftermath of the drought. That recovered a little bit in the second half of 2014, and also we saw that in the fourth quarter. So the volumes are again picking up. Against that potential drop of the market in the first half year, vitamin E prices, and especially vitamin E prices, clearly dropped. Also because speculation of a new entrant. Once again, I don't know whether that new entrant will be there. In that context of volumes restoring, maybe potential entrants will not be there. Against that context, there is a potential for increased prices. Will that happen? I'm not going to bank on that. I'm not going to speculate on that. In terms of our results, we need to see that. In terms of the markets, of course, we will do our utmost. In human health, it was mainly the effect of dietary supplements, and which put omega-3 even further down. Once again, 10% increase year after year for 10 years, and Q4, 10% decrease. So this was a strong effect, and also all the other dietary supplements in which we are all in. Again, I think at the end of the day that will restore when I cannot predict. Food and beverage market also softening, also the fourth quarter. The third effect in the row next to currencies, the fourth effect, I mean, many negative unrelated effects at the same moment. The fish oil pricing, I don't know exactly what Nutreco mentioned, but that's, they have an animal health business and not a human health business. And the business we have in the fish oil, although it's called fish, but it goes into the human supply chain. So I'm not so sure on what they see that has an influence on our human health business. I doubt that, to be honest.
Thank you.
Mr. Andrew Benson, Citigroup UK. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, just a follow-up question on because you did actually, you say you're not counting on vitamin E prices, but you did announce a whole series of price increases, and I just wanted to know the impact of those in price increases. I mean, have they stuck or have they not stuck? I mean, you're giving a low.
So far, not. I mean, today, not. Clearly not in the fourth quarter. Is there a potential into 2014? Absolutely. Will we work on that? Absolutely. Can I, let's say, speculate or cash on that in the forecast of our results? I found that a little bit too early. That is basically what I say.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Hello.
Yeah.
Next question, Mr. Jaideep Pandya from Berenberg, UK. Please go ahead.
Thank you. First question is on volumes. Could you give us a little bit more color on performance materials? How was the volume trends? Seems like you almost had double-digit volume growth. Where was the volume growth strongest? You mentioned engineering plastics, but if you can give a little bit more color as to what is going on in that segment, was that restocking or was it? Do you see a real improvement in demand? And also, which end markets where you see improvement? And then, if you could just add a little bit more color on animal nutrition volumes, where do you see improvement in demand there? That would be great. And the second question is on omega-3. Just to understand, when you bought the Ocean Nutrition business, you obviously had a base case for the acquisition, and now you see things developing. I understand that things are short-term, but if things sort of remain this way, where it is becoming more competitive as a product because of the returns, how far away would we then be from the base case of the acquisition? Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of more detailed questions where I have to maybe disappoint you, because as I earlier said, we do not have all the analysis available. There is preliminary numbers. They have a certain uncertainty also based on history. I would guess that this pretty limited, but we do not have all the analysis available, though, so I cannot really give you a detail on volume development performance results. We certainly will be able to do so in February, end of February, when we publish final numbers. On A&H, basically the same applies, although I can add one thing from the market, which we know. We talked earlier in the year of some diseases in poultry, especially, and poultry, as you know, is the biggest part of our A&H business. There we did not have diseases, so I would guess that that played a role in the volume development. On the contrary, on the aquaculture diseases in Southeast Asia especially, that is not yet completely behind us. That may have played a role, but again, I have to take the early announcement as an excuse for not having everything available at the moment. The same is also true for a more detailed analysis on omega-3 and the ONC acquisition, where we are versus base case and all of that. For that, we need much more analysis and time. So I'm sorry that I cannot really add on these more detailed questions. Maybe one remark also from a process point of view, how we do this. What we get basically, we call it internally an early indication of EBITDA and sales mainly, and we get that in the first 2 weeks of January, and that is the basis. There is still a lot of work going on in our corporate accounting department on consolidations, on analysis. As I said earlier, the balance sheet is not available, cash flow not yet, so the whole process will still continue for a few weeks. But we will have certainly more end of February.
Okay, just a follow-up on engineering plastics. I mean, is it fair to think that the auto market improving helps you there? And is there some reason? Because you do mention it very clearly in the release. That's the only reason for my question.
We know that from engineering plastics, it may have to do something with the auto market also. But again, I don't have all the details available.
Okay, thank you so much.
Mr. Andrew Stott, Bank of America, UK. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking another question. It's really on market share. You said right at the beginning you still feel, you know, you've got the same position broadly in each of your categories. I suppose just thinking about today and what you said, and thinking about also you've had Cargill come into the premix market, you've obviously got new entrants in omega-3 like FMC. How do you know today is not about market share loss? How do you go about establishing that?
Yeah, because we monitor that, and that is a very complicated but elaborate system, how we monitor market demand from the end consumers, but also at the B2B level, and the position of the different competitors. Of course, we have a lot of different products, so I cannot go through that product by product. But if you look overall on what happened in the second half year and fourth quarter, it is, if you look to overall, we have not lost market share, and some customers hold that very firm. But it was clearly weaker demand in the end market, dietary supplements, first of all, but also food and beverage, as we said. Cargill entering the premix market, yeah, but via an acquisition of a company which was already there. So the market share of Cargill very much increased, but that market share was owned by Provimi before. So, yes, They expanded a little bit in Omega 3, but not really, to be honest. So we are there, a very strong player. So
we also on animal nutrition premix specifically, we expanded our footprint globally last year again with a few new premix sites, either through acquisitions or through own construction.
Can I just follow up and ask how you think about the dividend for 2013?
Too early.
I thought I'd try. Thanks.
Good try.
Next question, Mr. Fernand de Boer, Petercam, the Netherlands. Please go ahead, Mr. de Boer.
Yes, good morning. It's Fernand de Boer, Petercam. Two questions, if I may. One is on the hedging. You said you had a positive impact from the hedging in 2013, which will be negative in 2014. Could you quantify that for both years? And then second, I'd like to come back on your fish oil comments. If I simply take the data from the FAO, then you see that the fish oil prices at the end of the year were around 1,600 and at the beginning of the year, 2,300. So let's say in a year's time, there is a 30% decline. Could you explain to me why that is not working for you?
Sorry, Rolf Dieter will do the exchange rates.
This is based on dollars, what I mentioned on prices.
But help me, what kind of fish oil is that? Not our fish oil for the omega-3, I guess.
No, it's general fish oil. It's
That is the previous question of the lady before, comparing with the Nutreco things. There's a lot of fish oil in the world, from all kinds of different sources. But we especially use one source of fish oil, especially in Peru, used for the fish oil-based omega-3. And that price, fish oil price, significantly increased over the year. And I do not monitor all fish oil prices in the world or the average of that. And it might be that that has come down or up. I don't even know that, to be honest. But that is also not of impact of our business.
Okay.
On the currencies, I want to say something different. Not that it was positive last year, negative this year. The only remark I made was that the hedging of currencies for 2013, as done in 2012, was at better rates than the hedging done in 2013 for 14. That's the statement I made. Whether it will have a positive or negative effect, I mean, last year I think the hedges actually were positive, but we do that not on speculation basis. We do that as a risk management basic structure. For 14, I don't even know whether the hedges will be positive or negative. I can only say if our assumption, current rates, would apply for the full year, I think most of the hedges done last year would still be positive, because the US dollar, for example, at the moment is around 136. The average last year probably was around 133 or so. We still need to finalize that also. But I think if you look at graphs or so, I would guess it's about 133. So but a year before was better. So the hedges as such would still be positive if current rates would prevail for the rest of the year. But the statement I made was simply the hedges in 12 for 13 were at better rates for our results than the hedges in 13 for 14.
Okay, thank you.
I think we have time for one last question before we have to close.
Next question, Mr. Rakesh Patel on behalf of Goldman Sachs UK. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there, just a couple of follow-ups. If I may. First of all, I wondered if you could give us what the pro forma growth was if you were to include the acquisitions that you'd made, because obviously I think you were saying they were growing at double digits at the nine-month stage. And then secondly, in terms of the performance improvement program, I wondered if there was any kind of update there, whether you were intensifying your efforts there. And then finally, is there anything new that you can tell us in terms of your ambition to reduce your merchant exposure to Capro Lactam? Thanks very much.
Okay, let me start with the last one. As we previously also said, and I can only repeat the statements, you know what the ambition is, the target is, and you also know that we do not give update in between. And I keep it with that, so no update on the process. On the profit improvement program, we announced profit improvement programs in the past. We continue to work on possible improvements wherever we find them. But I think it's also not wise to always then update it under the label of PIP. We have to say now, let's keep the PIP which we announced partially 2 years ago where it is, and we gave you the indication of our results contribution also at the Capital Markets Day in September. So when we now find new ideas, I would tend to not always again include them under the PIP label. It makes the tracing so complicated. For example, also today we made an announcement in nutrition, mainly as a consequence of all the acquisitions, and to also again, improve the situation, which has a cost benefit and also will lead to some headcount reduction in nutrition of about 300, as you could see. And that was announced today in the morning also. But I would not now add it again to the PIP. It makes the PIP discussion too complicated, I guess, in the future. We will have to close the old PIP at a certain moment and say we basically achieved it, which I expect there's no difference, I think, today's expectations versus what we announced in the Capital Markets Day. And whenever we have new topics which we find worthwhile, big enough to announce separately, we should discuss those in the future separately. Otherwise, we I think, get all confused on that one.
Sure.
So that is on the PIP, the CAPRO. And the first one, I really can't give you any insight what kind of growth that would be today.
Okay. Thanks very much. Very helpful.
Okay. Then let me close the call and thank you for your participation. Unannounced, as usual, early in the morning. So thanks for this discussion, which I think was good and spot on the topics we need to discuss. But let me also complete again with a summary, a statement. We are, of course, firmly committed to our strategy, and we will deliver sustainable value with that, and that Q4 is not a change to that at all. We even said earlier that we consider it in all segments to be a solid quarter. In nutrition, we continue to implement further efficiency improvements, as I just referred to, affecting some 300 positions to support our unique business model, basically as a consequence of the acquisitions, emphasizing increasingly local solutions in addition to our strong global product positions. This is the business model which you know from our investor presentation slides. The nutrition targets for 2015 are unchanged, sales growth of GDP plus 2% with an EBITDA margin of 20 to 23%. Performance materials, we are seeking to accelerate growth and improve performance by upgrading our portfolio and leveraging opportunities arising from megatrends, implementing differentiated strategies for the business to capture profitable growth, while, of course, continuing to implement our profit improvement programs also there. That will help to offset macroeconomic headwinds and actively allow us to manage the margins and costs better. The 2015 targets for performance materials are also unchanged. Sales growth at double GDP with an EBITDA margin of 13 to 15%, and Q4, as we indicated earlier and highlighted, clearly was better than the Q4 year ago. In polymer intermediates, we continue to look at options to reduce its exposure to the merchant caprolactam markets, as also discussed in the last question. Our efforts in R&D and innovation programs will be intensified as we seek to generate, in particular, more radical innovations that offer higher returns. And with that, I want to close this discussion this morning and this conference call. Thank you all.